Come, Holy Spirit, and touch my lips. Come, Holy Spirit, and illuminate our minds. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts with love for you. Amen. It was about 19 years ago now that I found myself in hospital with a massive kidney infection. I was in for a week, and it was probably one of the most terrifying times of my life. My temperature kept going so high that my body would go into something called rigor, which is where you have a fever so high that your body tries to control it by constantly shaking and then going really, really stiff. At the time, I was a single parent of a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old, and it was frightening because I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know how or if I would fully recover. And I remember one night in particular, just where the temperature kept rising and rising, and then I would shake and be sick and go rigid, and it would start all over again a few minutes later. It was quite exhausting just to be coping with that. I was only 32, 31 at the time. So I was quite young. I was relatively fit. And yet I was very frightened. And I will always remember one of the nurses who came to sit on my bed all night, or that's how it felt to me. And she held my hand and she talked to me. And every time the shaking got too much, she would calm me down and tell me that I was very poorly, but that she was here. She talked to me as if I was her own daughter. And I have never forgotten that nurse. There are many nurses up and down our country holding people's hands at this time of fear. There are many doctors doing exactly the same. And there are also other ways of holding people's hands than physically. The food parcel that ends up on your doorstep, the person who's gone to pick up your prescription or made you a cake in Thanksgiving, or picked up the phone to you. There are many, many ways of holding people's hands. It is quite rightly that we go out to clap for our NHS and our carers. But I want us to think tonight, on this night, when Jesus comes to be servant of all, about those who serve us. Not so long ago, people were boycotting 1% pay rise for our nursing staff. Not so long ago, any who were considered unskilled workers, like care staff, like delivery drivers in our supermarkets, were being asked to think whether they needed to stay in this country and were being told they wouldn't be welcome. We are living in a world that has completely changed, and we are suddenly and very really aware of the service that others give to us in our lives. There is nothing unskilled about the service that is given into one another's lives. You cannot put a price on the food parcel that arrives at a hungry doorstep, or on that nurse who held my hand throughout the night, or on so many other little services and endeavours that are being given to so many people across our country and our world. Suddenly, we are faced with what is important in our lives, and that is service to one another. But not only service to others, but accepting service from others. For those of you who know me, I'm a very independent person. I was, when I was lying in that hospital bed, I was a single parent, I was a primary school teacher, I was fine, I was absolutely coping with life until that kidney infection struck. And then I had no choice but to lie in that bed and accept the help that was given to me. It's not easy accepting help and service from others when we need it. But on this Maundy Thursday night, when Jesus after supper takes a towel and puts it around his waist and washes his disciples' feet, this is the lesson he is trying to teach them. That he is their servant, and they must be the servants of others. But in order to do that, they have to receive from him first. They cannot serve others without his washing and his water of life, his breath and his touch in their lives. Peter, bless him, as usual, doesn't understand what is happening and wants Jesus to be up on the pedestal. He wants him to be Lord. He wants him to be Savior. He wants him to be in authority. Perhaps he wants him to wave a magic wand. And all Jesus is offering is to wash his feet. Peter pushes Jesus away. No, he says, you are not going to wash my feet. And then Jesus turns and says, but Peter, I need to do this. You don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will. I need to do this. And if I do not wash your feet, you do not have a place with me. It is that moment that Peter jumps, you can imagine, to his feet and says, fine, wash all of me, wash all of me. He's probably stripping his clothes off by then. And Jesus says, no, I don't need to wash all of you. I need to wash your feet. Because I need you to understand that the Lord of Lords and King of Kings is your servant who came to be with you and in a few hours will stretch out his arms upon the cross because he loves you so much. Peter offers him his feet. And in the bowing of their heads together, they are no longer Lord and servant. They are no longer actually two servants either. They are two friends who have journeyed together through the highs and lows, up the mountains and into the deserts, to the villages and the houses and the synagogues. Together they have witnessed healings and miracles. Together they sit in that room on this night, realizing that they are equal. And it's the last time they will be together for a while. Because as Jesus gives them the new commandment to love one another, Judas has already gone to betray his friend. Peter and the other disciples will follow for a little bit longer to the Garden of Gethsemane. But there, because of their own grief, they will sleep emotion and grief take it out of us. I don't know about any of you, but I am feeling really rather tired by even 4 o'clock in the afternoon because of all the emotion around me, because of my own anxiety for my own family, for the whole of this world. So no wonder the poor disciples slept. It was dark. They'd just eaten. They'd had wine. And then they had grief as well. When the soldiers come to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, they try to stay together with him. Peter cutting off the high priest's servant's ear. And Jesus telling him, no, not that way. This is the way it needs to be done. And so they take Jesus and arrest him. And the disciples flee. Peter tries again to stay together with his friend. He follows, but at a distance. He doesn't want to be associated with this man wholly. A few hours ago, he had leapt up and asked to be washed in everything that Jesus wanted to give him. But now it's too hard. And so they go their separate ways. I wonder what this night means for you. What is it that Jesus wants to wash for you? Many people, when we come to this service each year, say to me, oh, no, I can't have my feet washed. No, you can't see my feet. But that's the very point of it. That actually the bits that we keep most hidden, the dirty bits, the bits that are ragged round the edges, are the bits that Jesus wants to wash, wants to clean, wants to tenderly dry, wants to heal, wants to love. And all the time we say, no, Lord, because you are Lord and Saviour, you can't see the dirty bits. All the time we do that, we forget to let him be our friend. Jesus comes only wanting to serve us. He doesn't come expecting perfection. He doesn't come and offer to wash us because he knows we're so perfect. He comes because we know he knows our need of him. He comes to us as friend. Someone who would support us and lead us home. Yesterday, I had the awful privilege of conducting my friend's father's funeral. Because of the restrictions, it was just her and me. And I had to travel to Slough. She later said to me, thank you for being there. It made it bearable. And I replied, I would have gone to the end of the country to do that for you. Because she's my friend. And Jesus does the same. Jesus went to the end of the world for us, not just the end of the country, to the end of the world. He went to hell and back, literally. And I've asked the question before, and I still ask the question now. Did he know what glory would come? He knew that the Father would be glorified in him and he in the Father. But did he know exactly what that glorification would look like? How would it work out? We are in a situation now where we cannot know the ending. We do not know what glory will come, what changes will happen in our lives because of it. All we do know is that we have a friend in Jesus who does know, who knows us intimately and holds us, washing us tenderly if we will allow. We give grateful thanks for all those who serve us in our community at this time. And we hold them before God in prayer. And as we remember Jesus' commandment to remember him, we can't do that in bread and wine tonight, but we can do that in washing one another's feet. Perhaps literally, if you have a household around you, you could wash one another's feet. Or metaphorically, thinking about washing someone else's feet. How might you do that in the coming days? Perhaps in the coming weeks, as we learn to live with life inside rather than outside. When we will be contending with grief and emotion that the disciples had to contend with too on Maundy Thursday. Jesus tells them, "A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you." Amen.